I got to tell you, when I was getting set for, you know, prepping what we're going to talk to Elliot Friedman about today, I didn't think I was going to ask him about the Flames and the Kings, a matchup with 39 points separating the two teams. But Drew Doughty's comments, that you can go find on Eric Francis's Twitter right now, have all of a sudden made it a little bit more interesting what might actually happen on the ice in this game tonight. Here are Drew Doughty of the LA Kings, his comments on Calgary's Matthew Tkachuk. The quote: "No respect for him, none. I respect everyone else. I'll never talk to him off the ice. He's not respected by most of the people in the league. It's not just me. That's just a fact," end quote. And as we welcome in Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider from Hockey Night in Canada, every Monday on this program, that's where we'll start, my friend. What was your reaction when you read those comments?
Well, I was probably saying thank God for both of them in the NHL, right?
Yeah, I mean, It gives us something to talk about for a Flames and Kings game, right?
Well, I mean, first of all, don't forget that he's one of the best quotes in the league, Doughty. And Tkachuk would be on that list, too. You know, those two guys are not afraid to say what's on their mind. They're both great players. I don't think anybody should be surprised that that is the way that Doughty feels about Tkachuk, because Tkachuk's obviously hit him before, hurt him before. A couple of years ago, the Kings spent that whole pregame and then game going after him.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like, why should anybody be surprised that Eric or anyone else would put a microphone in front of Doughty, and that's what you get? The guy's pretty honest and pretty blunt. And I think it's, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the hate. I think in the regular season, hate's kind of missing from hockey a little bit. And it's good to have it back on for one night anyway.
What's your take on the actual thought itself on Tkachuk? Is that a widely held opinion across the league?
You know, I think Matthew Tkachuk is the kind of guy who, you know, what's one of those things we always say about certain players? You hate him if he's against you. You love him if he's with you.
For sure.
You know, like, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of players in the league who play against Matthew Tkachuk who cannot stand him. And I'm sure that if you looked at Tkachuk in that Calgary room, those guys love him. And isn't that all that matters, is that your teammates like you and respect your game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if I'm Matthew Tkachuk, I'm rubbing my hands and say, got another one.
Yeah. Well, and he does a pretty good job of, I mean, you take a look at how he has burrowed into the heads of the Edmonton Oilers and certainly on the mind of Matthew Tkachuk, of Drew Doughty. Like, Matthew does a pretty good job of playing and sometimes winning these mental games on and off the ice.
I agree. And I think there's a lot of people that would say if you're in the head of a top defenseman like that, you're doing your job. And, you know, there's no reason that Matthew Tkachuk's career can't continue on the parallel of a Brad Marchand kind of guy. Like, that's, to me, that's what I'm thinking when I'm thinking of him. You look at Brad Marchand, and he's a guy who got in some trouble, been suspended a couple of times, and, you know, I could live without the licking, but he's one of the most valuable players in the league right now. And I don't see why Tkachuk can't continue on that kind of a trajectory.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's always been my favorite comparison when talking about where Tkachuk might be trending as well is Brad Marchand, because they also play really good two-way players and clearly impact makers hockey-wise on the ice on top of some of the other stuff that they bring to the table. So I'm glad that you had seen those comments and we could get your reaction on it, because the thing I was initially going to lead you with was also a Flames topic, but obviously you were coast-to-coast on Hockey Night on Saturday and watching that game between the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks, and Mark Giordano had himself a heck of a night on national television.
Yep.
How much does a performance like that coast-to-coast help a guy's Norris Trophy cause? Because we do know he's got a very strong case for that trophy.
You know, I don't know if in Canada there needs to be a lot of help. I think that, you know, Canadian hockey fans who followed this year, I think we all know what kind of a great season he's having. I'm curious about this one. Like, does it translate as much south of the 49. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I taped an interview this week with Vinny Trocek for our podcast, and one of the things I did at the end was go over some of the award winners. And, you know, I asked him Norris, and he said Hedman. And, you know, we kind of looked at some of the other names. I mentioned Giordano. I mentioned Burns. You know, I mentioned a couple other guys, and he was like, no, I'd go with Hedman, even though he said those, some of those other guys are having great years. And, you know, so last Wednesday night, the national game in Canada was Leafs-Buffalo, but the national game in the States was Tampa-Washington, and Hedman scored in overtime to win it. And, you know, I don't think Twitter is the be-all and end-all of, I mean, what, only like 20% of people have a Twitter account, but a lot of reporters do, and there was a lot of talk about Hedman. So I think that that's going to be the guy. I think that's the race right now. I really do. I think it's Hedman Giordano. But I think a lot of people in Canada, like, you know, Nick has a vote, I have a vote, you know, we both said we're voting for him. And, you know, I don't want to make this a Canada-USA thing, but there's no question that I think some people would be more exposed to Hedman than they would be to Giordano. So, because, hey, maybe Giordano gets the West votes, I don't know. But all I know is that I'm voting for him, and I know that there's going to be quite a few people voting for him, and I think he's got a real shot at it. We'll see.
Is anybody like Burns, Riley, anybody else that might enter into that conversation that could emerge?
I think Burns could, but I just don't. I think you guys winning the division, if you get there, winning the Western Conference, I think that does a lot for Giordano's candidacy. Like, I, you know, like obviously I thought Goodrow had a good run for the Heart. I'd be stunned if Kucherov doesn't win that going away right now. But obviously, Goudreau's had a really good year. But I think a lot of people really look at your engine as being number five, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that you guys are going to win the West, assuming you do, I think that puts him over Burns. Like, to me, I could always be. I don't think Riley's going to be anywhere near there. I think it's a two-man race, and we'll see where it ends up.
He's Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, joins us every Monday.
Elliot, you guys also talked on Saturday about another interesting trophy race for the end of the season, and only interesting because of the second half had by Jordan Binnington. But as you talked about, you look at the season McDavid had a couple of years ago, just games played won't end up being enough. But that being said, Elliot, do you believe Binnington will get some love and might end up as a finalist, even though he might not win the thing just because of how great his second half has been?
You know, Willie, I can't say 100% one way or the other. I just know that it's coming up. Like, you're sitting there, like, the St. Louis Blues could clinch a playoff berth tomorrow, okay? They have a chance of catching Nashville and finishing second in the Central. So here's the date you need to know, January 3rd. On January 3rd, the St. Louis Blues were dead last in the NHL. Less than 3 months later, they could be in the playoffs officially. So I did, like, a couple weeks ago, I did some research into this. As far as I can tell, that's the latest any team has been in last and still made the playoffs in 20 years. 21 years, actually. The last team that did that, I found, was Ottawa in 1998, the second year they ever made the playoffs. They were dead last on January 26th, and they got in. So it's hard not to look at this and say, boy, that kid has had an unbelievable season. But I think he's played 29 games now. I think we're all looking at this and saying, you know, what is this? I think this is going to be a big test. Like, to me, I'm voting for Pettersson. Now, the question I have is, how high am I going to put him? Like, you know, like I look at, like, to me, the four guys that are going to, and you can vote for five. But to me, like, Carter Hart's probably number five on my ballot, and Pedersen's one, and two, three, and four is some combination of Binnington, Dahlin, and Heiskanen. But I got to figure it out. And, like, I just wonder if a guy, he's going to end up playing in the low 30s at most. You know, how fair is that? You know, like McDavid didn't win because he only played 48 games. If he played 60 games, he runs away with that. So, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you yet, Will. I don't know how many people are going to do it, but I know that we're all kind of sitting there saying, you know, what's the acceptable number? I think this is a big challenge for a lot of voters.
Man, it's crazy. You list off all those things, Elliot, since January 3rd, and I feel like I've asked you a similar type question a couple of weeks ago, and it's still there. I mean, Craig Berube hasn't had that tag removed from being an interim head coach, which is bizarre to me. Are they waiting? Have you got any sense of what's going on there? Are they waiting to go big game hunting in the offseason, or what's the deal with St. Louis behind the bench?
I think he's got the job. You know, some part of me wonders if they've told him, don't worry about it, but we'll get it done. You know, I've written it once before, and some people texted me and said, don't worry, he's not worried. So, you know, that's it. Maybe it's one of those things where they just don't want to do it during the year. I don't have a great answer for you, Will, but I think you're going to be the coach.
What about here? You look here, the LA Kings in town. I know you had something in your 31 thoughts last week. Obviously, a past history between Rob Blake and Todd McClellan. What are you hearing with the Kings in a coaching search?
Well, I think that I think that they probably will do a full thing. I don't know if it's going to be anybody who's going to get sort of acclimated to the job. But I believe Todd McClellan is high on the list of candidates for the reasons I said. Blake played for him. Blake liked him. They won 104 games in the 2 years that Blake played for him. But I think there's another contender emerging, and that's Dave Tippett. You know, Nick mentioned on Saturday about the rumors that maybe Tippett might want to come back and coach and not wait for Seattle to start. I think that's a possibility. You know, Dave Tippett also has a history in L.A. He's been an assistant before. And I'm under the impression that, you know, when they were making their coaching change this year, you know, Tippett was kind of on their radar. So I think that, you know, McClellan and Tippett, especially if Tippett are interested, I think those are probably two very high candidates on their list, although I expect they'll interview, you know, a bunch of people.
Two-part question. You look at the nation's capital, they obviously want to hire somebody in the front office, but Elliot, how easy a job is that going to be to hire for?
I think for, you know, people always say that, like, nobody's going to want to go there. And I've learned over the years that's not true. There's only 31, soon to be 32 of these jobs. And the fact is that those jobs are coveted. Now, I think if you really have leverage or a reason to say no, it might increase your chances of doing that. So I think there will be some, like, Dean Lombardi, we believe, is the one guy who's been approached so far. John Shannon reported that on the weekend, and I've got no reason to believe that John is incorrect there. And, you know, I think Lombardi is at the point where he's kind of like, I don't know if I want to be a GM anymore, so he could say no. It wasn't for him. But since then, I've had, you know, a few people reach out, ask me questions about the report. What do you think? What are they looking for? And I think one of the things that's kind of going on here, guys, is that the NHL would like to see this happen. And anytime you kind of get that, then, you know, I think people feel a little bit better about it. I think it's kind of like a managing up job. We specifically asked them if it meant that Dorion was in trouble. They said no, but so it sounds to me like it's someone who's going to be sort of a public face, do a lot of the interviews, run the organization, and also kind of be a conduit between the owner. Now, so, you know, the one thing that's interesting to me is, like, I wonder if some, like, I kind of wondered if, like, some guys who've done TV might be the right person there. Like for example, like a guy like Ed Olczyk, I even suggested a guy like Doug McLean might be the kinds of people, like, Doug's run a franchise before. you know, I mean, he's taken a couple of runs at the Senators this year, so I don't know how they feel about that. But he's a guy who's run a franchise before, you know, things like that. Like, I'm very curious to see, you know, kind of what they're looking at here. It sounds like it's someone who's there to kind of, like, stabilize things, maybe, you know, be the public face of the team, kind of be the conduit between hockey ops and owner. There's a lot of different ways they can go with this person. Like, to be honest, I thought another guy who might, whose name might get out there for this is Don Maloney, because I know the league really likes Maloney. But I'm not convinced he's going to want to do that either.
Last one from me. It's been a lot of talk in your market, and I know you spent some time last week at their practices, and you've also talked to Brian Burke about it. What do you make of this Babcock-Dubas thing, if anything at all?
Well, you know, Babcock kind of threw cold water on it a bit. Like, I thought he really did a good job of handling it. He kind of said, you know, hey, I kind of understand how this could be interpreted that way, but I don't think it's the way I intended things. I thought it was really interesting he did it that way. You know, to me, I did have some pushback on that, I will say. I had one person who called me and was very upset about what I wrote. And, you know, he thought it was unfair. And I said to him, add up all those comments all year and tell me that a, you know, reasonable person wouldn't see something. And he actually, it was pretty funny. He said to me, well, you're confusing yourself with someone who's reasonable. And we had a good kind of laugh over that one. But it's just that, look, I think that it was hard not to look at some of those statements and wonder what was going on. But I think at the very least what happened, I got the sense is that Babcock kind of looked at things and said, whether I was, even though I wasn't, I don't think I was doing this, I think that I could understand why the impression was created. And I thought that was a really good way for him to handle it. I think it creates an opportunity for, if there is any issue in their relationship, for the two of them to kind of reset it a bit. And, you know, right now, the most important thing is that for them is that play speaks. And they, you know, they've won, what, two of their last seven? And even though they played pretty well on Saturday and Georgiev beat them, you know, that's the number one thing right now. They've got to be focusing on how they're playing.
Mm-hmm. Couple more with Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider from Hockey Night in Canada. I know CJ had this on his Beyond Headlines piece today, and it seems to be the story that will not go away. Sounds like short-term, the current NHL playoff format and divisional alignment will go forward for at least another year, but what are you hearing in terms of the long-term?
I think that you're going to see a move by the players to see if they can get the playoff format changed. I think you're going to see, can they build enough momentum? Is there an ability to do that? I don't know. But I think you're going to see a movement for that. The word out of the Players Association apparently is that more players are complaining about it than ever. And if that's the case, then you're kind of there. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, one of the things I'm going to suggest, I'm writing for tomorrow, and one of the things I'm going to suggest, and I'm writing it for tomorrow, is that the TV, I believe in the States, NBC, didn't like the reseeding after the first round. So what if you did the brackets and locked them in? And so you did 1 versus 8, and the 1-8 winner plays the 4-5 winner, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about, like, a 1-7 and a 2-4 somewhere going on. Because that's what apparently they didn't like before. So I think that that's kind of one of the things we're looking at, we could look at here. But I do think the players are pushing towards saying, we don't like it as much anymore. Like, I was talking to Keith Yandle this morning because Florida's here. And, you know, one thing he said is he'd love to see the number one team get to pick their opponent. And I said, could you do that? Like, could you see yourself doing that? And he goes, I think it would be tough, but with all we know now about analytics and how to and which team you match up against best, he says it would be tough to beat no matter who you play anyway. But that's what he said he would like to see. And could you imagine that in the National Hockey League? That would be awesome.
So what would need to happen for...
Don't worry, I sent my son down to his mother, so we're okay again now.
I was going to say, Will was like, we better say hi to Max at the end of the interview. So what would need to happen for a change to go through? Like, would that need to be...
Well, both sides have to agree, right? So I didn't realize this, but the playoff agreement is separate from the CBA. I thought it was all part of one thing, but it's not. So they're talking again this week, and the belief is that the same format will be for next year. But I think, you know, as part of bigger conversations, I think you're going to see both sides commit to, is there a playoff format that we can find that we both like? They both have to agree to it.
So that would be, so this would not be something that would come into, because that's what I was going to ask you. Would this be something that would be part of negotiations?
It doesn't sound like it would be for next year. I think there's an understanding that it's too late to blow this up for next year.
Yeah.
But I could see it being an issue for, or something they discuss a lot more for 2020, 2021.
But will not be a contentious point in CBA negotiations then?
It depends. Like, they could make it all one. Like, there's a lot of different ways they could go down this. Like, I think the one thing, though, Pat, like, I believe at this time when you're negotiating a CBA, everything becomes a negotiation point.
Right.
Like, you could say, hey, we're not going to do this on the CBA. If we're not going to be helpful with you on the playoffs until we get the CBA done. Like, that, I'm not saying that is going to happen. I'm saying that, in theory, that could happen. And anybody who's ever done a big negotiation or been through these CBA conversations knows that's kind of what happens. So I don't want to say it won't be an issue, because it could be. I'm just saying that it's not technically part of the CBA discussions.
Right. Great stuff as always, pal. Thank you so much for doing this. We'll let you get back to some time with Max. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Take care.